Hello, Conference USA fans. Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I am your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have another one of our football season preview episodes in store for you today. On this episode, we will be covering the FIU Panthers, newly minted Pit Bull Stadium, coming in hot in 2024. Can't wait to talk some more about that. We've got Kevin Barral on the show today. He is the FIU beat writer for Sports Illustrated. He also hosts the Pause Up podcast there for FIU. And Josh Yonis will be joining us from our office once again to talk some Panther football. And then a little bit later in the program, we will be airing our Media Day interview with head coach Mike McIntyre, the return of Lexington Joseph. He's here, he's back, he's ready to go. And then linebacker Reggie Peterson will be joining us in that interview as well. I will preface this and let you know that, listen, I know you guys, some of you guys know this, but I did 10 interviews in one day at Media Day, and I have to just out myself here just a little bit. I messed up the audio on this interview, guys. There was a cord that wasn't quite plugged in the correct way, and so we had to salvage the audio on this one. It's not quite as crisp and clean as all of the other ones, but we still thought it was a really great interview and wanted to share it with you guys. So just wanted to preface that on the front end. Also, coming up next week, we have two more preview episodes for you. On Tuesday, we will be previewing the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs, and on Thursday, the UTEP Miners. So definitely be on the lookout for that. And you will get to hear a new voice on the podcast next week. I am going on a much needed vacation. And so Jessica Radford from our office will be hosting the show next week along with Josh Yonis. So you will get to hear a new voice from the Conference USA office on the shows next week. So be looking forward to that. Make sure you are subscribing wherever you listen on Apple, Spotify, or now on Amazon Music. You can find CUSA Insider, so make sure you're subscribing there. And as always, you can follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. All right, everybody, without further ado, let's preview those FIU Panthers. All right, Panther fans, joining us today on CUSA Insider for our FIU season preview, we have Kevin Barral, FIU beat writer for Sports Illustrated and co-host of the Pause Up podcast. Guys, I just learned this. I didn't know this. He's still a student at FIU and not an upperclassman. He is a sophomore in standing there at FIU. So, Kevin, you're doing big things over there, and we really appreciate you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I'm honored.
All right. First off, I mean, we're not going to bury the lead here. Big announcement last week. Pit Bull Stadium had Mr. Nationwide, Mr. 305, whatever you want to call him, on site for that press conference last week. We were tuned in here in the office and obviously very excited. But I know there's a lot here to this partnership, but just, you know, kind of give us an overview. What kind of impact is this going to have on FIU to have such a unique partnership that is just so important, I think, to that Miami area?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys saw it day one, the second it was announced, you know, FIU was on SportsCenter. You saw it on ESPN. It was, I mean, FIU took over college football for about 24 hours, which no one, I think, would have ever seen that coming. You know, no offense to FIU, that's just the grand scheme of it. I mean, Pitbull is one of the biggest names out there, and he's collabing with FIU, and no one would have ever thought that. And, you know, FIU is getting some nice money out of it for sure. And it's a win-win situation for both sides. And, you know, athletic director Scott Carr made it very clear that it's not just a sponsorship. It's more of a partnership. You know, it's something that's going to grow. And Pitbull now has the chance to have 10 events at Pitbull Stadium every year for the next 5 years with an option in the middle there. So for potential to renew that. So yeah, I mean, it's a win-win deal for both sides, and FIU definitely is now on the college football map. I think more people will be interested in that. And along with that, I mean, it helps recruiting. When you say that you could play at Pitbull Stadium, I think a lot of recruits may want to do that. So it definitely helps them outside of the Florida area, you know, to bring and attract more recruits. And Pitbull's going to be there at the Vice game, most likely, against Sam Houston. So that should be pretty fun. And they have a lot up their sleeve over there at FIU with Pitbull and what's to come with that partnership.
that may just happen to be the game that I need to make my way out to, you know, just for science.
Yes,
of course.
Just for on-site visibility there at the conference office, make sure that we have someone there. But I think it's funny how much it's kind of brought people together too. So I can't, don't quote me, because I can't remember who it was, but there was a Sam Houston player that was tweeting about how excited he was to play the Vice game with Pitbull in person there. So I think it's a really cool opportunity, but as you said, great publicity for the university, great publicity for the program. But how do you think it's going to translate to the on-field product? Because kind of a rough year last year, you know, you had a lot of injuries on the roster as well. And then now going into 2024, some big names have left the program. You've got Chris Mitchell's is gone. Donovan Manuel is gone. So how do you think this will translate to the on the field product as far as publicity goes?
Yeah, FIU definitely a tough year last year. Got off to a great start, 3-1. Technically should have been 4-0 with that loss against La Tech, with, you know, how tough that one was. But, you know, FIU had a freshman quarterback out there, true freshman, Kewan Jenkins. He really showed a lot of potential. Definitely still a lot to work on. We were talking to him not too long ago. He says he thinks 98% of the offense is completely new, really centered towards what his strengths are. And, you know, we were talking to Coach Yost as well, the offensive coordinator, David Yost, and he was saying that he was watching high school tape from Kewan and a lot of the coaching staff to make sure, you know, let's go to what strengths Kewan has and what works for him. And definitely looks like it, you know, in the early parts of camp, now going into week three, which began today. And the defense didn't lose too many names. You guys obviously mentioned Donovan Manuel, but they really stacked up on linebackers through the transfer portal, bringing in JUCO guys. A lot of freshmen now are there, and they're rotating the linebacker room team by team. It looks really good right now in camp. I mean, that's a true winner. It's definitely been the defense during camp. Jordan Garrod, you know, big loss, but still you bring in new guys and it's looking really good. The edge rushers are looking good. You bring in Bethune-Cookman, transfer Eddie Walls the third, and then you have Keegan Davis on the other side of the edge. Those guys have looked really good. So, you know, definitely the biggest issue with the defense was kind of getting off to a slow start. We saw it multiple times. They were down 21-0 after the first quarter, or even after the first half of game action. And that's definitely not been the case this time around. Definitely looks like that won't be the case. Once again, they're pressuring the quarterback. They're forcing turnovers. They're making quarterbacks uncomfortable, which is something they just couldn't do last season. That was one of the biggest things. They were just never able to finish. They were never able to get the sack. They had some of the most pressures in the conference, just not enough to, you know, cause a turnover or just cause a bad pass. Safeties look great too. JoJo Evans, who was not able to play last season due to the transfer rules, he is now back, and he is going to be, you know, he's going to be one of their best players, honestly, on defense. I mean, CJ Christian at the safeties, freshmen are going to get a good chance to play. Jermaine Carter at the defensive line, he's someone who's really stood out during camp, as well as Shamir Sterling as well, number 22, I believe, safety. He's looked really good. So, you know, you're starting to finally see what happened last year kind of get past them. And it's looking completely different in 2024, at least in the early parts. And, you know, they're going up against each other, so you kind of take a lot of it with a grain of salt. But, you know, week one, when they're in Indiana and Bloomington, definitely I think that we'll see a better picture. Even week two against Central Michigan, a G5 team.
We talked a lot about a couple of the bigger names that are gone. But when you look at the amount of starters returning, the amount of just letter winners returning in general, top to bottom, FIU towards the top of both of those figures. So, you know, even though there are some big shoes to fill, obviously a lot of familiar faces and familiar depth to the team. Have you noticed that that's, you know, I know it's a lot of guys coming back from, you know, a team that kind of had a down year, but at the same time, I think there's got to be some value in having guys that have played with each other, you know, some position rooms like the linebacker room that you alluded to, that are starting to kind of gel a little better this year.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the one thing Coach Mack has really emphasized. It's how mature this group is. You know, 2 years ago when Mack got here, it was one of the youngest rosters in college football, and they've really grown together. And, you know, you lost a lot of players after that first year with Mack, but this year, I mean, you only lost a couple guys, to be honest with you, or at least starters. You know, And it was impressive to see that they were able to keep so many guys after such good seasons for some players. You know, the wide receiver room is basically intact. Your only big loss, of course, was Chris Mitchell, who's now off to Notre Dame. But you still have Dean Patterson, Eric Rivers, who are two guys who are really going to step up. Young freshmen like Luby Maurice, who played a little bit last year. He ended up redshirting. You have Eric Nelson, who's a young freshman, who's really tall. He's looking to look really good in a, you know, in a year or two. So it's really gelling well together. And, you know, the transfer portal, they really hit with Juju Lewis, a Georgia Tech guy who's looked really good. And, you know, the experience certainly helps a little bit. And, you know, on the defensive side of things, Reggie Peterson's by far the name to watch. He is someone who will be very important. He's the leader, most likely wound up being one of the captains for the team. You have Elijah Anderson Taylor, who's going into a second year with the team. He was, I believe, one of the best in the FCS. So he comes over to FIU. He doesn't play too much because of Donovan Manuel, obviously, but then now is probably going to be one of the starters. So it really helps to have that experience, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where it's really showing early on in camp. The offense is still, you know, kind of working out the kinks, because the offensive line definitely saw some losses with Philip Houston going over to Colorado and some other names leaving. You know, Jacob Peace left in the middle of the year. John Bach is going to be suspended for half the season due to some issues over there. But He, it's a very young offensive line that has started to gel a little bit. Left guard has definitely been one of the issues. They're kind of rotating that position a little bit, but it looks good for the most part. And yeah, 100%. I mean, when you have a more mature roster, older roster, it certainly helps, especially in Conference USA.
Taking a look at the running back room, obviously one of the biggest storylines is the return of Lexington Joseph. You kind of assume that with the way he played in 2022, that he would be the favorite to come in as kind of the lead back again. But in his, when he was out last year, you had two guys in Keijon Owens and Shamari Lawrence that really showed out in the backfield for them. And they're both back this year. So kind of creating a little bit of a conundrum for Coach Mack, you know, with that running back room. But, obviously don't want you to give away too much from what you've seen in camp, but just kind of give some insight on how you kind of how we should expect to see them rotate those guys in the backfield.
Yeah. Early on, it's been Lexington getting most of the reps. Flex is really stepped up, looks really good. It looks just like it did in 2022, honestly, just health-wise. He feels really good. And then it kind of feels like it's a 1A or 1B, really, with Flex. And then you have Shamari. Keijon was a little banged up, so he didn't take too many reps today, per se. But Shamari looks a lot bigger, a lot stronger. They're running some fun plays out there, too, with Keijon. So you guys will see what I mean in, you know, hopefully a couple of weeks when this season starts. It'll be definitely pretty fun with Keijon out there. But, yeah, I mean, FIU under Mike McIntyre has yet to run a three running back system. They've really only gone with two. It's Flex and whoever the backup was. So it's going to be very interesting to see. He has three very good options. Keijon's been used a lot as, you know, as a wide out, for example, when needed, if he's out there. So sometimes he will go two running backs. So it'd definitely be very interesting. Definitely feels like it's 1A, 1B with Flex and Shamari. And then you have Keijon as that second guy back there. So That running back room is still extremely deep past them. So they will be set for the next couple of years, and we'll see. I mean, the transfer portal is what it is today. So who knows who leaves, who stays. But right now, this is one of the better running back rooms, I would say, in Conference USA.
Well, we're excited to see how that all transpires on the field for sure come just a couple of weeks from now. But I do want to ask you, Kevin, you've mentioned a lot of names in the last couple of minutes. And is there maybe, for the other fans of maybe some other teams that are listening, are there one or two guys that they can be looking out for, maybe that we haven't mentioned yet or we haven't gone into as much detail with, that they can be looking to be playmakers for the Panthers on the field this year on either side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, starting on defense, I would look at those edge rushers. You have Eddie Walls III, who is just very long, something I don't think FIU's had in a while, honestly. Just a very long pass rusher who's going to get to the quarterback quickly. And then on that other side, you have Keegan Davis, who, you know, he's played a lot, but it's been a lot of special teams. It's been a lot of, you know, he hasn't been spoken of too much. And now that's a guy who I think a lot of, you know, Conference USA fans are going to be hearing of when he takes the field week one against Indiana. So those are two guys I'm looking at on the defensive side of the ball. And obviously JoJo Evans, who didn't play too much didn't play at all because of those transfer rules. He was a Kent State guy. before that Marshall. So he comes now. He actually played in Conference USA during the Marshall days. So he has experience, and that'll definitely help translating over to, you know, a new age of Conference USA with so many new teams, but still some old familiar faces. And he's definitely going to be making a big impact on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know if he'll play or not, but Shaborn Demps is a guy who I've really looked into. You know, he's 5'6". He's pretty small, but does he move? He's probably one of the fastest guys on the team when you look at it. I was very impressed today, especially after the catch. He was a wide receiver, went to running back, now back at wide receiver. He's kind of been, you know, moving between those two positions here and there, but he's a very fast guy. Not sure how much he'll play, but if he does, he's definitely going to be a guy who's going to be used in very specific situations. And then the other guy who, crazy enough, I haven't mentioned, is Desmond Washington, 6'5", 220-pound wide receiver that has been huge in the red zone. Made some huge plays today. You know, you had Chris Mitchell, who would just run by guys. Desmond Washington is just going to catch it right over you. And that's, I think, what really stands out about him, bringing a new dynamic that the offense honestly hasn't had. You could very well say he's a tight end, but he's going to be on the outside there with Dean Patterson and Eric Rivers. So that's going to be very fun to watch. You're going to have him along with Josiah Meehan and Rocky Beers, whoever it is at the tight end position there. So you're technically having two tight ends in the red zone with some really good wide receivers. I mean, the offense still working out some kinks, but definitely those are some guys that have stood out that really not many people have spoken about. But I think midway through the year, you'll hear a lot of those names on the weekly basis.
One addition to the program that really jumped out when we were kind of preparing for media day, that's not a player actually, is outside linebackers coach Kenechi Udeze, who, if you weren't following college football in the mid-2000s and didn't know about that USC team, he was a consensus All-American and a national champion, at that linebacker position for the Trojans. Now a part of this FIU coaching staff in a linebacker room that we've already talked about multiple times already, that's got a lot of talent there. What kind of impact has he had that you may have seen at camp so far in leading that group?
Yeah, that was definitely one of the better hires, you know, during the Coach Mack era. Obviously, you had DeMarcus Van Dyke head over to USF, which led to Anthony Gator getting that promotion over to cornerbacks coach, which opened that new spot over at outside linebackers coach. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the guys have very much spoken high about him. They're saying that they're learning how to rush as a team instead of just individually. They're learning how to get to the quarterback a lot quicker. And he has a lot of experience. I mean, he's been coaching for a very long time now. He was in the NFL for a couple of years, playoff experience as well, USC, as you mentioned. So he's a great coach and definitely a cool guy to talk to whenever you get the chance. And a lot of guys have spoken very highly of him as well as coaches. So definitely one of the bigger hires of the Coach McIntyre era, I would say, at FIU.
All right, Kevin, looking at FIU's schedule, you mentioned week one going to Indiana there in Bloomington, big test for the Panthers, and then Central Michigan coming to Pitt Bowl Stadium week two. But then week three, the reprisal of the Shula Bowl, it's back. And for the first time since 2006, FIU and FAU are in different conferences playing that game. And so our players and fans looking forward to the Shula Bowl again this year. Kind of what's the feeling on campus coming up on that rivalry game in week three?
So during practice, there's a drill called FAU. So they're very, very excited for this game. And that should tell you what it feels like. I mean, the last time FIU won in Boca has been, I want to say, over 10 years. So it's been a while since they went into to Boca Raton and actually won over there. And I think they have a really good shot. Both teams are pretty similar in terms of just the talent level that they have. FAU going with a new quarterback over there with the Marshall transfer, Cam Fancher. FIU going with a returner, so that definitely helps, and the maturity definitely helps there as well. Both teams lost their big time receivers to Power Five schools, but that's okay. It's gonna be a fun game. I know those guys are really looking forward to it. A lot of guys who either went to FAU or wanted to go to FAU that ended up coming to FIU. So definitely they have a chip on their shoulders, and it's going to be a fun game. A lot of those guys have gone to FAU before. I mean, Reggie Peterson, Flex Joseph, the two oldest guys there, they've been there before and they know what it is like to play over there. So definitely helps to have experience, and it's going to be a little weird not making it a Conference USA game, but definitely should be still. I mean, it's still the same stakes no matter what. It's going to be the biggest in-state rivalry they've had in a while. I mean, last time the Owls came over to FIU football stadium at the time, wasn't a very fun ending, but I think they'll remember that. Coach Mack has never taken that team over to Boca, so I'm pretty sure he's pumped and they're ready for it.
Well, I did want to ask you too, just looking at the rest of your schedule in conference play, is there a game or two maybe that's standing out to you coming up on this year as maybe a potential like grab game for you, as like maybe they're going in as the underdogs, but it could be a potential victory for FIU? I know it's hard to say at this point in the season, but you go to Liberty, to UTEP, but you get La Tech, Sam Houston, New Mexico State at home. You're going to Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State, the newest member of Conference USA, but then you get Middle Tennessee again at home. Is there a conference game on the schedule that you're looking to like zero in on, as this could be a real turning point for the Panthers?
I'm looking at that Jacksonville State game, honestly. FIU was mounting the comeback last year, if you guys remember, with the fair catch and all that fiasco that happened there. That really shifted momentums for FIU. They had to take out Kiwan. They went with Grayson James. He was really balling out. It was a Chris Mitchell one-handed catch in the end zone game. Everything was going well, and then everything shifted. But that's definitely going to be a tough game over in Jacksonville State. I believe they're, you know, renovating everything over there as well, so that's going to look really good in a couple of years. And I'm also looking at the Sam Houston game. It's the Vice game. I mean, Sam Houston lost a lot of one score games last year. I think they're going to be a lot better than what they were last season. There's a reason why they're so high on the conference poll. And it's going to be a fun game. Pitbull Stadium, Vice night with potentially Pitbull there. So who knows? I mean, should be a fun one. Those are the two games I'm looking at. FIU definitely an underdog in that Jack State game, but there's a good shot they could win that one too.
All right, Kevin, I have to ask you, as a student, just we're not talking football like FIU right now, for you as a student, being a beat writer for a major national network like SI, how did you get into this? What are you studying? What are you doing? This is just really neat for me to be able. I love talking to college students, but this is really cool. What an opportunity you have to cover a Division I Group of Five program at this level. Just tell me how you got your start. If there's any fans listening out there that want to do the same thing, I think that it would be really just interesting to hear from you. And just why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I got to give a lot of credit to Lemon City Live. Those guys over there really gave me the shot to cover FIU to begin with. You know, I honestly, I didn't even know FIU had a football team to begin with. But, you know, I got there, covered a couple games. And good friend, I guess you guys know him, Eric Henry, really gave me the opportunity to take my stuff to the next level. He saw, what I had. And I'm now writing for him and, well, for his buddy, Joe Londrigan at G5 Football Daily, which is the partner of Sports Illustrated. So, yeah, that's where I got my start. I also do content for the Marlins or over at Fish On First. And that's the big reason why, you know, I'm kind of it's noticeable what I do and how they kind of saw notice of it. And I'm currently studying communications over at FIU. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't do work for the football team. You know, I cover the baseball, basketball, almost every team, I would say, at least the major teams in the over at FIU. So yeah, it's been a fun ride. And, you know, I'm here for a couple more years at FIU. So hopefully a bowl game comes soon. You know, as fun as it is to write about the team, cover it, you know, you're still a fan inside. So definitely as a student, you would love to see them make it to a bowl game, which they haven't done. God, it's been a while.
I know that you guys are, I know that the Panthers there are bowl game or bust mindset this year for sure. So I do want to give you a chance to plug not just the Pause Up podcast, but a really cool concept that has come out recently, the CUSA Roundtable podcast. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about that because I think it is a really cool thing that is happening. And if any of our listeners have not gotten a chance to listen to it yet, give it a nice plug and tell them why they should go listen.
Yeah, I need to make my debut on that roundtable soon. Actually, I haven't even been on it, but soon enough I will. But yeah, I suggest you guys to go check it out. I don't know exactly what the account is, but I know there is one. And obviously, check out the Pause Up podcast. I mean, that it's really cool what they're doing over there with the roundtable. A lot of colleges, I believe they're missing one podcast left, one Conference USA team. So, you know, whoever's watching, if you want to join it, so, you know, let them know over there. But yeah, they're doing a great job. I believe they're going weekly live. They go through a couple, you know, they vote on some certain things, certain position groups. You know, and I believe they did all defensive team really recently. So they're doing a great job over there. Make sure to go check them out. I'm doing that with my buddy Jake Gibson over there too, over at the Pause Up podcast. So yeah, they're doing a great job, and yeah, they're killing it with the content over there. They're putting it out weekly, and definitely something that we didn't have before. You know, obviously you guys are doing the CUSA Insider podcast, and they're doing that roundtable. So Conference USA definitely growing in terms of content, which there really wasn't. You know, outside of, you know, the conference itself, there really wasn't much of it before.
Yeah, and we definitely want to lean on the insider part of our podcast. I know it's kind of a different, you know, some of the things you mentioned are, you know, we can't really vote on position groups and be too opinionated, but, you know, we definitely love, you know, this side of it, being able to highlight some of the people on the ground at our schools that are covering the teams and you know, finding other ways that we can kind of give some access to some things about Conference USA that people don't really know about. So, you know, I don't know if there's a, you know, a partnership down there, you know, down the road with that group and whoever's running it, but
we're going to do a collab episode. Yeah. It's coming in hot, everybody. Oh, yeah. We've talked about it. But yeah, if you want to go follow it, it's at CUSA Roundtable on X. And they feature, the hosts of different Conference USA school specific podcasts around the league. So, you've got Pause Up Podcast on there. And then I know Liberty, I think everyone, like you were saying, is participating. We're still trying to find a New Mexico State representative. So if you're out there, out there, let us know. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today. We wish you the best of luck as not only a student with a full slate of classes, but a guy on the ground, a beat writer for several different teams. So good luck this season. And maybe Josh will see you at the Vice game.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, make sure to come on. It's going to be a fun time.
All right, everybody, welcome into CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA, coming at you live from Frisco, Texas, CUSA Football Media Day. With me right now, I have Coach Mike McIntyre of FIU Panthers, Lexington Joseph, running back for the Panthers, and Reggie Peterson. Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to have some fun.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you guys were just telling me it is your first Media Day event here for Conference USA, but you guys have been around for a little bit of time. I think I would consider you, after doing a little bit of research, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, leaders on the teams in your respective position rooms. So, and also offense, defense, you guys are just leaders on the team. Tell me a little bit about, what is it that you love so much about being at FIU, and how have you just kind of gotten into this leadership role and just taken it and gone with it?
You can take it. Thank you, Reggie. Well, what I love about FIU is it's family. It's like being a part of a football team is like, it's an extended family you have. It gives you the opportunity to really get to know each other, mm-hmm. and like becoming a leader, everything right. And having that trust from your teammates, it's like, it's nothing better than that. Like, when you could talk to the younger guys and help them with schoolwork, help them with plays, and like, it doesn't beat the feeling of getting the joy of seeing your teammates score a touchdown or make a big stop and stuff like that. So it's like, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
Yeah, it's actually really exciting. You know, being from the Miami area down south, a lot of us played against each other in high school. So we are definitely competitive. Like, we still talk about it today. Oh, my high school is better than yours, or his is better than mine. So we're already came in as a family. We already knew each other. And just watching each other grow, you know, that progress of just watching Flex and Flex watching me just take over the leaders that we are. And then we have a great leader ourselves, Coach Mack. He definitely puts it on us. You know, he shows us the four F's and just shows us what family truly is and what's the meaning of family.
Coach, do you have anything to add about these guys?
Well, I think being a leader, a lot of times it's people that can communicate well, but they don't hear you till they see what you do on a daily basis. Yeah. And these young men have done it there at FIU for a long time, not only on football fields, but especially off the football field. That's where the leadership really happens, away from the field more than on the field. And then also academically, they're strong, strong students. They care about academics. And they care about their future besides football. So I think that's why they're such great leaders.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mentioned it a little bit before we actually started recording here, but Flex, you're a graduate student. What's your major again?
Mass communications and the track of global strategic communication.
Oh, that's a mouthful. That is a mouthful. And Reggie, what about yours?
I graduated with a bachelor's in psychology, and now I'm in the middle of my master's in behavioral analysts.
Those are some smart kids that you have sitting right here. That is awesome. I love to hear that. Well, both of you mentioned you're from the Miami area. So that three sort of a little bit.
They don't want to call Florida down south or South Florida.
But he's not from Dade.
No. All right. Well, we've
been there long enough now. I guess it could be a transition.
Sure. Uh-huh. Well, one thing that I know FIU is proud of is the 305. Okay. You guys rep it on helmets, on your backs, on everywhere. And I wanted to ask you guys about a really fun thing that you guys do down there, the Miami Vice game. So this past year, I think it got more publicity than it ever has. Can you tell me a little bit about what makes that game so dang exciting?
So it makes it exciting because our football field is also painted blue and pink. So everybody gets excited with the Vice colors and just finally coming out on the football field. You just see a ton of a bunch of FIU kids not in the navy blue and yellow or the gold, if you want to call it. But we coming out in black, pink, and blue, and everybody just get excited. It's Miami Vice, you know?
Yeah, also, it gives you opportunity to go back in history. Because the Vice goes way back in the 80s. So it's like a lot of kids like, all right, we don't know about it.
Yeah.
It gives you opportunity.
I was going to say, you're making Coach feel old over here. You're making me feel old, and I'm not that old.
It's an opportunity to know history about Miami because we are the school of Miami. That's why we rep 305 all the way.
Loved it. Love it. What about, wasn't there a Lamborghini? And there was, a whole video that you guys did. Who was actually in the video?
Oh, and Dean Patterson, our wide receiver. Yeah, he's the face. He's the Miami Vice face.
Did he milk that big time? Oh yeah.
I woke up, saw him on ESPN. I was like, "That's us."
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Our media department and all of our guys—they do an unbelievable job. And when Scott Carr came in, he brought in some unbelievable people to do that. And so that's really made that go to another level, and we're excited about it. The kids really enjoy it, and so did student body.
Yeah, and you're not just saying that because two of them are standing right behind me taking pictures and video, are you? Okay, perfect.
Okay, they're phenomenal.
Awesome.
Best in the country.
I've loved the stuff that as a creative, I've loved the stuff that FIU has been putting out over the past couple of years. So let's talk a little bit about Flex. I want to turn it to you for just a second. So obviously you went out last year with an injury. How much did that play into the fact that you wanted to come back this year as a graduate student and get back on that field?
Well, at first I had thoughts. I had doubts of coming back. But as you know, Coach Mack and Reggie and a lot of other guys on the team, they it's like a family. I doubted myself. I was like, I don't know if I could come back. I already had my bachelor's degree, so it's like I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But having people in my corner like Coach Mack, Reggie, and a lot of other guys, it's like I'm like, I can't go. I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
I wish I could play and stay here forever. But as you know, football has expiration date, but I want to make the most of it. So I made that decision. I called Coach Mack, I said, Coach. It's actually funny, he's about to get on the flight. And I called him right before his flight. And I said, Coach, I'm ready to come back and give you my all. Then I know that first practice in spring, I put my helmet on and I started crying, busting out in tears. That's what I do. I love being here at FIU.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we talked a little bit about life after football, and I saw, I stalked all of you on social media, but on your Instagram page, you have written founder of Flex Motives. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is? I went and looked. You got some very inspirational quotes on there. What is the inspiration behind Flex Motives, and can you tell us a little bit about the brand?
Well, the brand is like you say, the bring that motivational and different quotes to people who don't get it. Because Coach Mack, he's a great quote guy. I don't know if you heard it. He got quotes for everything, and it's like, and a lot of his quotes, I give him his props too. I don't say I give him his props.
Yeah, you had some on there.
It's like, give him his props, but it's more of to help people get that motivation they need. Because every day we come to practice and meetings, they're giving us devotionals, quotes, and you need that little jump start to your day.
Yeah.
And not everyone is an athlete who can get that. So I thought, okay, maybe I could take what I'm getting from Coach Mack and my teammates and give it to the world.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. Reggie, so I was reading, and correct me if I'm wrong, because, websites aren't always right, that you are a former walk-on.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about the fact that you went from being a walk-on to being, I think you're the oldest linebacker in the locker room.
22.
Well, I mean oldest as in experience-wise, obviously. So tell me a little bit just kind of about that process. Do you have any words of encouragement out there for other former walk-ons?
So being a walk-on was definitely tough. I thought it was a joke that everybody was saying it's not as hard. It's definitely hard. It's hard like JUCO, actually. So coming out of high school, I had zero offers because I broke my wrist, and I decided to walk on. And the same day of signing day, I was given a preferred walk on by Butch Davis, and he lets me walk onto the team with my best friend, Deuce Dunbar. And so we walk onto the team, and first day, you can ask Flex, I couldn't even come in the locker room. They said walk-ons locker room or in the visitor side. So just seeing everybody's name up on their locker and just seeing my locker was like a nail on a wall. That just motivated me to just get a scholarship. And I remember just running, taking every rep hard as I can, just being the fastest one, just being the first one, being the last one. You know, early bird gets the worm, you know. So yeah, it brings you back. I'm trying not to cry right now.
Oh man.
It's a lot.
All right. All right. I'll change the subject.
Our walk-ons are in our locker room now. We built a new one.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that
So
was years ago.
well, we refurbished our locker room. So we got plenty of lockers there. So all those guys are in there now.
Yeah.
It gave you that extra motivation back then, though, for sure.
Of course. So yeah, my brother, my twin brother, he was supposed to be with me, but he realized he's not built on a schedule like I am. Yeah, he couldn't wake up at 6 a.m. to go running or doing grit with Coach Pop
Yeah.
because he can't do that. So he decided to tell my mom that he's going to quit football so my mom can get enough money for me to walk on at FIU. And I ended up getting that scholarship within a year, and I'm here.
And you paid it back.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's
Definitely.
awesome.
Yeah.
That
Definitely.
is so cool. I love to hear that. Well, I told you we weren't going to talk a ton about football. I'm going to ask one football question. So, going into the 2024 season, is there something that you guys are looking forward to, or something, coach, even that you've been using as like a mantra in the locker room going into the 2024 season? Any goals that you guys have set that you can share with us?
I'll let them tell you.
All right.
Grit.
That's it. That's it.
Grit. That's all we've been preaching. But I'm really looking forward to seeing the guys go out there mature. Maturity level has risen. You know, it was one of the youngest teams in the nation a couple years back, and now like a lot of guys got more reps. And with me, like last year when I was out, I took that player coach role, and I had the opportunity to sit back and watch, and I seen the team grow. So now coming into 2024, we grew even more. So I'm just excited. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's
I
awesome.
think Coach Mack did a great job of bringing that leadership role. And like I said yesterday, Coach Mack also did a great job of making us become leaders, but not by forcing us, but by letting it happen. You know, back before Coach Mack, it was hard. It was hard. It was definitely hard. But Coach Mack, I see Coach Mack as a bright light into the room, you know. And when it's dark, Coach Mack just comes in with his quotes and just get us motivated. I'm pretty sure every day Coach Mack speaks, I want to run through a brick wall. Like I feel like it's game day. And he don't even know that, but he motivates all of us to be better, but just not just football players, but better men just like him.
Anything to add, Coach?
They're great examples. They're great young men, and their leadership will make a huge difference in our team this year.
Awesome. I just love to hear that. That's so cool. Well, we have just a little bit of time. I know it's gone by so fast, with you guys in here, but I ask this question to everyone on the podcast because it's a fun one. We have a CUSA Eats segment on CUSA Insider where we talk about people's favorite restaurants in the school, in the communities of the schools that we have here in Conference USA. So if somebody, I mean, I know Miami's big, I know it is, but if somebody is coming to Miami for a football game, myself, another fan from another team, are there a couple of restaurants that they need to stop by and have a bite to eat? And what are they going to get when they're there?
It depends on what that person wants. If you want Hispanic food, I think one of my favorites is Los Verdes. That's a great spot, Los
Okay.
Verdes. It's kind of drive out a little bit. It's like in Hialeah, so it's like 15 to 20 minutes. But for Hispanic food, I'd definitely say that. What about
Well,
you?
it's a restaurant called Green Chicken.
Green chicken. I love it.
It's real close. It's like across the street from the school,
Yeah.
and it's Caribbean type food, so it's like. You got jerk chicken, stuff like quesadilla, jerk quesadillas, steak, and stuff like that. So if you're going for something like that, I recommend that place.
All right. What about you, Coach?
Well, football coach, I'm in the office too much, so I
Okay.
would say DoorDash.
What do you DoorDash?
Whatever I can get to.
That's awesome.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, is that what he goes for? Chick-fil-A?
I see majority of our staff. I don't know about Coach, but Aaron, what is it like? Every Thursday, Friday, they come in with Chick-fil-A, they sweet teas, lemonade, making Arnold Palmers. So yeah, I'll probably say Chick-fil-A for that.
All right, all right. Well, you guys start the season at Indiana. I happen to be an Indiana alumni, but I'm gonna cheer for the Panthers. It's my graduate degree, so it doesn't count as much as my undergrad. So enjoy Bloomington, though. It's a lovely, lovely town. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys on the field this year. Flex, happy to have you back this year for sure. Worked here for 6 years. You were a mainstay there on the field for the Panthers. So happy to have you back. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the day. This is your first stop here at Media Day. Enjoy the facility. Have fun with it. Absolutely. Don't get you guys. I told you I started you off with a softball here. It doesn't get harder from here, but this is not the ESPN Plus live show in this room. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Looking forward to your guys' season. And yeah, go Panthers.
Big thank yous again to Kevin Baral and Josh Yonas for joining us on the front half of the show, and for Mike McIntyre, Reggie Peterson, and Lexington Joseph joining us for the back half of the show. Some exciting times down there in the 305 for this year. Can't wait to see that Miami Vice game in Pitbull Stadium for the first time in 2024. All right, everyone, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, you've got two more previews next week coming up. On Tuesday, you've got Louisiana Tech, and on Thursday, the UTEP Miners. So make sure you are subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. And go ahead and follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram so you never miss an update. And if you have any questions, concerns, comments, recommendations, just want to say hello, you can email us at CUSAInsiderPod@conferenceusa.com. All right, everyone, I'm going on vacation. I will see you all again in a week or two. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.